darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, good evening, America. Alex McFarland here, sitting in for attorney, pastor, journalist, broadcaster Abe Hamilton III. This is the Hamilton Corner, and we've got a great show. Listen, I got to tell you, I'm just so excited for covering some of the headlines and getting the wisdom of the guest that you're about to meet in just a moment, Aubrey Shines of Real America's Voice, and I will give him a more thorough, more proper introduction in just a moment. But I want to say thank you all for listening to the American Family Radio Network, and I thank my friend Abe Hamilton III for allowing me to sit in when he is traveling. If you recognize my voice, it's probably from a show called Exploring the Word that airs live 5 days a week on the American Family Radio Network. Bert Harper and myself, we teach the Bible, and what a great honor it is. Over 15 years we've been doing it, and I give God the glory. Exploring the Word seems to grow and grow, and we do a lot of things. We teach the Bible, but we have started just this year challenging people to read the Word of God through cover to cover in a year. And if you do that, we give you a certificate. And we gave away about 50 certificates in January of people that took us up on our challenge. And last year, they read the Bible in its entirety, Genesis through Revelation. But we invite you to tune in on the American Family Radio Network to Exploring the Word. But I'm very blessed because I'm kind of a news junkie. And always, I've just been really glued to current events. And so Abe Hamilton III, here on the Hamilton Corner, he kind of lets me get my inner journalist working to talk about current events. And we have a lot of great opinion makers. We've interviewed elected officials, celebrities, a lot of people. Today we have on a broadcaster and journalist, Aubrey Shines. And he's got a program. It's a very popular, highly watched program on Real America's Voice called America Shines. And it's news and current events from a biblical worldview. And he is also pastor of Going From Glory to Glory, G2G Ministries. He does work for FRC, Family Research Council, Faith Leaders for America, Charlie Kirk, and Turning Point USA, that I've had the great privilege of getting to be friends with Charlie and TPUSA. He's just one of these guys. He's conversant on any topic. He's articulate, and God is using him in a big way to inform and inspire and speak truth to our nation. And I'm very honored to be able to glean from his wisdom tonight. He's Aubrey Shines, our guest right now on the American Family Radio Network. Welcome, Aubrey Shines.
Hey, Alex. Great being with you guys. Always love your pleasant and kind words. Thank you for being so incredibly kind. Thanks, Alex.
Well, it's a great honor, and I appreciate what you do. And hey, you know, one thing about the times in which we live, it ain't boring, is it? I mean, there is so much going on. Tell us about your show, but I'm always curious, how do you do your show prep with so much? I mean, it's a big, loud, noisy world. How do you plan your content?
You know, a lot of different ways. The show's been airing for 3+ years. Our visibility, our numbers are really incredible, and I say that with a great deal of humility. I really, really do. When I'm prepping for a show, you know how this goes, and maybe a lot of our public doesn't. I just simply reach out to one of my producers and say, hey, you know what? I believe this is where we need to be this coming up week here, this particular topic. You know, we have obviously a plethora of guys and girls that can come in and give expertise. But I really believe at times, Alex, and I hope this doesn't sound too spooky to a lot of people, I really pray about it. I do, because I love the way that you teed that up. there are so many issues that are going on. I mean, arbitrarily, we could just take 5,000 issues and just tackle. But what one or two issues are so relevant that the public really needs some clarity? That's what I do at America Shines. We shine the light on those particular topics. And so when I have guests like you or others from Heritage or whoever I may have on, these individuals come in what I believe to be such an acumen of accuracy that it allows us to speak truth with love, but very courageously, in the sense of regardless of what comes out of it, even the negative things, we still stay the course, Alex. And as a result, I think we're doing quite well according to the numbers.
Indeed. Well, deservedly so. Deservedly so. And I want to encourage people, by the way, where may they listen to America Shines?
No, even if they just go out and download it on their phone, if that's easier. Of course, we're on every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can go to everywhere from Hulu to Samsung to Fox. I mean, we're out there. It's just everywhere. But one of the easiest ways, and we get so much traffic from guys and girls just simply downloading Real America's Voice on their app, on their phone rather, downloading the app, and they tune us in. As a matter of fact, they're able to even catch some of the shows that I've done at least 2 to 3 weeks prior. We get a lot of, quote, late response from individuals that may be traveling, sure, can't sit down at that specific hour. And it's really been humbling, honoring at the same time. I'm just glad that I'm able to serve the way that I do.
What was your background prior to being a broadcaster on Real America's Voice?
Well, ministry. You know, I for the last 30 plus years, I was connected to one of the largest denominations that was here in the United States of America and abroad. I was one of the chief evangelists, had a very strong itinerant ministry. I was probably doing, I don't know, 120, 130 flights a year. You know, just church to church, revival to revival, conference to conference, lecture to lecture, and a lot of fun. Now, when my dad was living, I really thought, you know, just a little fun here. I really thought I was going to follow in his footsteps and just be a great businessman. He was incredibly successful in the suburbs of Chicago, Illinois. He ran an incredible organization with a lot of trucks and businesses, et cetera. Just, you know, really, really a profound guy. I hate I had to bury him at such a young age, but I really thought, Alex, that was going to be my direction. Then when I began to matriculate through school, I thought, oh, got it. I got it. I'm going to be the next greatest constitutional judge that's out there. God had some other plans. I really felt.
Right now, I wish you were a judge right now.
Well, I get that quite a bit, right? You know, I certainly would have been a constitutional guy with a real, real organic background for our Constitution, because we're looking at what I call a real hijacking of our Constitution. I really think that we're in trouble in that area. I hope, by the way, that some of our colleagues in Congress will adhere at least to the hope of Donald J. Trump. I think some of these federal judges should be impeached. I think they've gone off the reservation. And I think they should be constitutionalists, sure, and not ideologues, and let the law fall where it will. And again, Alex, if our churches are not involved, if our leaders are not involved writing and calling their congressional and senatorial leaders, then I hate to say it this way, then we'll get what we deserve. But if we're really engaged, as we were in this past and prior election, I believe, Alex, we can turn this thing around. We must be engaged on these topics, not just on our radio and TV shows, but in our pulpits as well.
What do you think the history books are going to write about the latter days of the Biden administration, the 2024 election? I mean, for one thing, July 13, 2024, when President Trump was almost assassinated, then candidate Trump, you know, even now with 6 to 8 months, you know, retrospective, I just feel like these are some of the most critical, crucial everything's up for grab, Days About America. But Aubrey, what do you think the history books are going to say about the last, say, 12 to 24 months of our nation's history?
Well, I think if they reek of anything with intelligence and curiosity and integrity, if they're honest, they will know what we all know. God help us. We all know that Joe Biden was not running the White House. We now know it for a million reasons. This is nothing new to those of us who keep up with this. But again, when you have, you know, automatic signatures and you're not even part of what's going on, you can look at the footage and this guy was just bewildered all of the time. I mean, God, what was his wife doing to allow her sick husband to do this? What kind of party would do this? A bunch of globalists. I think if history is recorded accurately, I think we will all know we've been duped. I think that we will have to revisit the issue of an election in 2020 being stolen. I think the numbers are there. That's not my opinion. We do very deep dives. Case in point, when you look at what just happened back in November, what happened to 30 plus million people that allegedly voted for Biden on the East Coast alone? Did they disappear? Where's those numbers, Alex? And again, these are not people, well, they went over to a different party. No, that would make it a plus of 30 to 40 million votes that all of a sudden, what did they do? Did they all die? Did they move to another country? These are issues that we cannot ignore. We can't say, well, that's behind us. Let's move over. Let's move forward. We can't. So I think if history is recorded properly, I think that we will realize that God gave America grace. I believe not just in this issue of a presidency. I really believe this is spiritual. I believe it gave us an opportunity as Christians to evangelize, to do the work of the gospel, not just here, but abroad as well. And Alex, you understand, had the other party got in, not because I think this, there's already evidence to this. They were shutting down Christians, shutting down anyone that believed in a heterosexual normative lifestyle. They were promoting the LGBTQ. All these things were going on. And had we not have the grace of God, I think history would record that we were probably going to lose, in the words of Benjamin Franklin, this great republic.
Indeed. You know, Aubrey, I'm not being flippant or trite or sarcastic, but this thought went through my mind, after Donald Trump won, and won by nearly 11 million votes. But Donald Trump dodged a bullet, and so did America.
I love it.
Isn't that a fair assessment?
I think it's excellent. I really do. And I don't say that because I have such a profound respect for you. I just think that your finger's on the pulse there. I do. I said to our congregation prior and post, you know, our November date for voting for the next president. And again, I was incredibly clear. I'm not one of those pastors that would get up and say, it doesn't matter who you vote for. No, I was very clear. I always brought the receipts to our sanctuary. I showed the policies, the difference. And I would publicly say, and this is the reason I'm voting for Donald Trump. Now, a lot of your audience may not know, but in 2016, I traveled for then candidate Donald J. Trump. I say this everywhere I go, I was the only pastor in the United States of America when Hillary Clinton lost her election. She put me in her book by name as to the reason she lost the election. So I have some really? Real skin in the game here. And because of that,
congratulations, by the way.
yeah, well, I hear it all the time. But Alex, I tell you, buddy, I received the amount of threats that I think most, had it not been for the grace of God, they would have folded. I don't think that they would have moved forward. It was overwhelming to so many people, but we continue to triumph through those things. I would do it all over again had I had the opportunity to do it again. And so I believe that all of us that believe in a Judeo-Christian ethos, I really believe that we're living in a period of some real grace here that we
okay,
really
hold that
should
thought. Be. Forgive yeah, me. God. We've got to take a brief break. Alex McFarland here with our very special guest, Aubrey Shines. Don't go away. American Family Radio is back after this.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verses 10 and 11 of John chapter 10. Jesus is the good and the great shepherd. He's the greatest shepherd there ever was. He's a shepherd that can be trusted. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in his earthly ministry continually trusted his heavenly Father, his great shepherd, for wisdom, for guidance and direction at every step of his life. He wasn't trying to do his own thing. He was simply trying to follow his heavenly Father. And Jesus, again, stands as a great role model for each of us.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Our guest, Aubrey Shines, that we'll resume our conversation with in just a moment. Hey, I want to remind you, a week from today, now listen up, especially if you're in the Mid-Atlantic region, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, one of the most visited resorts in America. Now, I know AFR is all around the Grand Strand, Myrtle Beach. We've got like Charleston, Dillon, Florence, Wilmington, Little River, Calabash, Myrtle Beach. Okay, I'm having two free lunches next Wednesday, March 26th, Thursday, March 27th. And I would love for you to come. Listen, lunch is on me. I'm going to give you a free book. I'm going to give a speech about biblical worldview in the culture. But I'm also going to tell you about our speaker series, Conversations That Matter. And we're bringing in Charlie Kirk in August. We're bringing in Lauren Green from Fox News. How about this? Dinesh D'Souza, May 4th. Gary Chapman, the writer of The Five Love Languages. And then later on, Eric Metaxas and many, many others. But if you want to come to lunch next Wednesday or Thursday, if you want to have lunch with me, email me. And here, it's super easy. contact@alexmcfarland.com. contact@alexmcfarland.com. Just give me your name, tell me who you are, give me your email, and lunch is on me. And then we're going to have the speaker series. The website about the speakers, and it's worth coming for, is alexmcfarland.com/conversations. alexmcfarland.com/conversations. You know, over the last 25 years, in addition to doing Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network, I love to bring carefully chosen thinkers, opinion makers. It's been our joy to rent venues. We've had elected officials, Christians from the entertainment industry, great scholars, and it kind of reminds me, at the soonest possible opportunity, I need to have Aubrey Shines come down, and we'll book a coliseum somewhere in America and hear from him. But people every week on Real America's Voice, the show is America Shines. The voice, the journalist behind it is Aubrey Shines, and he is our guest right now. So, brother, thanks for being with us tonight. I'm remiss. I need to book you for a venue, but until then, we are glad that you're with us tonight.
Always great being with you guys, and I look forward. If not, I'll take it to the air that Alex was going to book me, and he never did. And you'll get a lot of my hate mail, so there you go.
there we go. You know, before the break, we were talking about how you were mentioned in the one of Hillary Clinton's books for your support for Donald Trump. But, you know, in a way, we kind of jokingly said that's a badge of honor. But here's the thing, and I want you to speak to this. If you're a Christian and you're a follower of Jesus and standing for God's word, we should do that. There's going to be, potentially, there's a target on your back. But that's just part of the deal, isn't it? I mean, that's just, for we disciples, I guess that's just an occupational hazard, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's par for course. I mean, the apostles were incredibly clear that if you live for Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. I'm not sure why we try to avoid that portion of Scripture. And I, I guess I get it to some degree. None of us wake up every day and go, hey, gee, I hope this is one of those days that I get a chance to, I don't know, travel through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, I don't think any of us really, really do that. However, when you choose biblical principles as a way of speaking, again, truth in a society that is very dark, there must be opposition. I just never understood, Alex, the guys that have the mandate, have the background, have what they say is a calling from God to do this great work, this great commission, but they're fearful. I don't know any other better word. They're cowards. They won't speak. They assume, well, people are going to think I'm political. Well, we're all political. I don't care if it's not politics. If you and I are debating where we should go and have a bite to eat, that's a political argument. If we're debating anything, those are in the confine of the word politics. That's a political argument. Why shouldn't Christians vote their values? Why should we apologize for what we believe in? I think if we just did, and we did this past November, overwhelmingly did so, we could stop all of these things. Why shouldn't our worldview be, I don't know, copied after scripture? And again, forgive me for just kind of hogging the moment when I say this, but it was the great apostle Paul that said, look, if it's possible, let's be at peace with all men. Again, there's a conjunction that's here. But how do we make those things possible? We are engaged. If we really have dominion in the earth, the way that God called us to have dominion, to dominate, we're not talking theocracy, we're talking about influence here. If we're really the salt, the light, then if there is a God that's for us, why would we be so hesitant, Alex, not to speak about these things publicly, and especially from the pulpit? Amen. And I think where a lot of our leaders miss it at, my friend. I do.
Hey, I want to give a scripture. There's so many current issues. The judge issue, judges, activist judges working to block Trump's really agenda and executive orders. But before we get into the headlines, from God's Word, in Jeremiah 29:7, it says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city into which I've carried you. Pray to the Lord for the city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." And, you know, the word politic is from the Greek word polis, or polis, P-O-L-I-S, the Greek word for city. And if God's Word tells us to seek the peace of the city that we're in, and the polis, the city, we can have influence politically. I mean, isn't that really, and there are many New Testament scriptures that I could give as well, Aubrey, but I feel like we've got the sanctioning and the affirmation of God to be salt and light in that public square. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. And again, I don't think that we should stop there. I think our influence should be everywhere, not just in politics. I happen to shepherd, and when I've had some of our young guys that went into the NFL, I didn't want them to change their perspective, or those who I've known that I personally counseled out in Hollywood, you know, and they would ask, hey, Pastor, you know, is it right for me to do scene A or scene B? I said, first of all, it's a conscious issue, but number two, does your values reflect in your ability to entertain? Are they asking you to become something that is counterintuitive to scripture? Now, if you can some kind of way answer that question, you'll be exactly where the Lord would really have you. And so when we don't influence, when we don't bring what we are, and that's salvation, that's, you know, the Greek better than I, when we don't bring that salvation or that salt into something that is rotting and decaying, we're not doing our job. And again, you will always hear me say this, Alex, I always go back to the pastors, and let me say why. It was the great priest, prophet Hosea, where you see it written, he says, the way the priests are is the way the people will become. Well, I go back even to Dr. Martin Luther King. He said, look, we're not talking about having a theocracy. He says, but the church should be the conscience of the state. Well, if our conscience is being lived out in the elected officials that we support, then why are our pastors not taking a more prominent role in doing this? We see thousands of people on a weekly basis. Why are we not standing up to that challenge? If you're afraid to do it, I think you should resign. Find a young man, put that young man in office, and let that young guy go that would be courageous and bold to change the landscape of our society. I believe that.
Praise God. This is wisdom, folks. And if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here on the Hamilton Corner, the American Family Radio Network. We're talking with Bishop Aubrey Shines. He's not only a broadcaster and a journalist, he's a pastor and a shepherd. So I have a question, and this is not hypothetical. This comes from real conversations. In 2016 for FRC, I spoke at four different Trump events. And then in 2024, you know, radio, on the road, I was doing a lot of interviews just for myself. And obviously, you know, as a minister, I was trying to help people think about the election from a biblical perspective. But here's what a pastor said to me. And Aubrey, I could give you a dozen variants of this conversation. Pastors would say, but Alex, I've been at my church 20 years. Kid, I got to retire here. And look, I'd love to lay the cards on the table, but man, I got some members, they would be upset. So here's the question. How does a pastor get out of the velvet handcuffs? And I think you know what I mean by velvet handcuffs.
Yeah, I do.
Give us a word of encouragement.
You know, pastors, I say to all of you pastors that are listening, here's the question metaphorically that Christ asked. If you want to live, he said, then die. And I mean, it really comes back to that. He said, you want to live? Okay, well then die. If we're not afraid to die to those things that handcuffed us, money, etc., then we're doing it for the wrong reason. Alex, I had pastors to say to me, and I have a lot of pastors that follow me on a weekly basis. They really, really do. And I hear things like this. Hey, Aubrey, I really, really love you, man. And I don't know these guys, Alex, by the way, but they'll write or they will DM me. Hey, I really love you. You're bold. You're courageous. And these are senior leaders, as I am a senior leader. But man, if I did that, and then exactly what you just said, Alex, I hear it almost verbatim. And they always ask, what do you recommend? And I'm not trying to be, I hope I never come off as condescending when they ask that question. I said, I don't know, maybe lay on your face before the Lord and first start with repenting. Ask him to forgive you for not being bold and courageous. This is what you were called to do. And if you feel, for whatever the reason, that you can no longer fulfill that particular mandate, then you should resign, become like the Levites of old, serve your 20 years, get on out of there and let another young, courageous guy step up and let him take that mantle. Because if you really got to, I don't know, try to find a way to juxtapose between not hurting people's feelings and hurting people's feelings, I think they're in the wrong vocation. Or if they started out correctly, repentance would really, really help here. Because if they really just repent, ask God to forgive them, empower them, and then get back out there. And if you die, die. But know that, as in the old hymn, you die in the army of the Lord.
Amen. Folks, let me just say this regarding young people. They are hungry for truth. Since 1998, we've done literally dozens of conferences. And then I, by God's grace, I give God the glory. I've spoken in 2,200 American churches. We've done surveys. Aubrey, our ministry, we're just a small ministry, and my goodness, we're not huge. But we have done 250,000 surveys of young people. I'm talking middle school, from really middle school through 20s. And the amazing thing, and this is why we want the pastors to speak out, is because on these moral social issues, you know, if you wanted direction about life, abortion, gender, sexuality, heaven, hell, you know, we've asked a lot of questions, biblical worldview. The number one place that, and this is for 25, 26 years, kids, they say, well, I guess I would talk to my mother or dad, my parent. Now, we hear about peer pressure, and there is the internet, but the number one voice that young people, and this has held true for two decades plus, is a parent or maybe a grandparent, a trusted family member, trusted, respected. But number three, generally, ahead of peers or it's a clergy. Mm. Like my pastor, my youth pastor. I mean, we've done so many events at universities, you know, priest or rabbi. But here's mm-hmm. my point. Ministers, you have more entree. You have more cachet into yeah. the lives of young people than you might realize. Therefore, let's take this opportunity, speak truth into these open hearts and minds that are looking to us for spiritual and moral guidance.
I love it. I do. Christianity Today once asked me a question. I was doing something in Washington. I didn't know they were there. I didn't know they were kind of hidden within the crowd. And it went something like this. I had made a comment. I was one of the guest guys that was there. And I said this, Alex, without even really thinking about it. I says, well, the average church in America is somewhere with men, somewhere between 7.4 and 9.2, 9.3, whatever that exact number is. I said, but where I shepherd, where I'm the senior leader, we have a little over 40, 41% of our congregants are men. Well, the Christianity Today reporter asked, again, I didn't know that's who he was. How did you do that? And I was stunned. I did not have the answer. I said, I don't know. And I honestly did not know. Fast forward, went back to the local church, connected with our chief therapist there at the church and asked her to help me conduct a poll. I wanted to find out, why are these men here? I never thought about it. I never thought about, this isn't a large number of men here, and a lot were young men, but these were strong, you know, men that work out, love God kind of a thing. Here's yeah. what they said. In a nutshell, this is what they said. Because you're bold enough to address topic and issues that we've never heard anyone address before, except for Muslims and people like Louis Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam. Those were wow. the exact words. That's scary.
All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to open up the phones. The number 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a question, comment, we're going to talk about some current events. We would love to hear from you. Our very special guest, pastor, broadcaster, Aubrey Shines, and we'll converse more after this break. Stay tuned to the American Family Radio Network.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Okay, if you've ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon, here's your chance. We're talking with Aubrey Shines, great thinker and communicator. And the number, by the way, if you've got a question, it's 888-589-8840, toll-free nationwide on the American Family Radio Network. We'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840, and we will entertain any and all questions. Hey, before the break, we were talking about getting men in church, and thank God for godly women, but you know, so much about the church, I don't think we've really spoken to men's issues. We've not affirmed manhood and masculinity, and yet God's Word has a lot to say about being a man, being a godly man. And that's a topic, you've addressed it, and as you were sharing, the fruit is undeniable. But don't you think we need to be a little more intentional and proactive about how we minister to men?
Absolutely. Intentionality is everything. Again, if we don't intentionally go after men, I think we're going to miss the bigger picture. I tell you what I found quickly. I find wherever there are a lot of men, women feel very secure at that moment. I took I did something I thought was pretty unique. I had our men in the congregation one day to just circle the entire church inside, and I wanted them to hold hands. And we embraced the entirety, and I have a large sanctuary there. They embraced the entirety of the sanctuary. And I looked at the ladies' faces that were there. Alex, I cannot embellish this. They were weeping. They didn't even know why I was doing it. They started weeping. I called out a few individuals. Why are you weeping? They said, and it was a very touching, breaking moment. They said, we feel so secure here. There's a sense of security. When men are there, just like when a dad is in the home, I tell you something about those kids. They know daddy's here. We're going to be okay. And I think men represent that. But if we strain the men and don't allow their roar to come out, if we emasculate them, if we tell them that, no, there's no difference between you and a lady in sports or whatever it is, we'll lose an entire generation. We must be able to speak these type of truths regardless of offending people along the way. I'm telling you, it will foster an environment where the women will feel very safe being in a place like that.
Amen. Amen. You know, we scholars use the term Imago Dei, image of God, made in God's image. And, you know, Genesis 1:26-27 says God made male and female, made in God's image. Do you believe the LGBTQ trans and the push to erase objective gender recognition, that maleness is an objective category of being, femaleness is an objective category of humanity, this erasing of gender boundaries, is that an attack on the fact that we're made in God's image?
Absolutely. And we know it is because we watch nations like China, people like George Soros. They will support groups, whether it is the LGBTQ or Black Lives Matter, a group of lesbian Black women who hate biblical heterosexual normity. These are intentional attacks. Why is it, Alex, and I say this to you, of course, I know you know the answer, these countries that will put billions of dollars into our nation destroying our men, they don't even allow it on their TV sets. But they
Amen.
Will.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. They will invest into Disney and other places to, again, make our men feel. This is why when you watch a television show, usually the gay character, smart, witty, happy, funny, and everyone loves them. But let there be a strong dad who's protective over his daughter or son. He's out of touch. He's a square and he's ignorant and he looks like a buffoon. There's a reason that's intentional. And the church has a responsibility to show it very different.
You're right. I mean, yes, folks, think about primetime entertainment. A masculine male is either a buffoon or a toxic alpha male. Roid rage, you know, they're either a dangerous monster or a buffoon. The idea of a, you know, upright, mature, you know, healthy, balanced, masculine man, I can't think of a primetime show where you'll find that kind of a figure.
It doesn't exist. That's why you can't think of it. It doesn't come to mind. but yet a million other things can come to mind. And think about this. We know this is true, Alex, for a different reason. I did a show on this once, and I spoke on this same topic, even from our pulpit. Every business has been developed to serve the people and to make a profit. That's a fact. Fast forward. Why is it that the majority of these places like Marvel and Disney, they're not even making money, but yet they keep doing the same thing? It proves one thing to you. It's not just about profit. It's about changing a person's thought process. Let's get them away from God. Let's infiltrate the kids. We all know this of a certain age. When we were kids, I don't care if it was Batman, Captain America, Hulk, it could be Superman. All of us tried to emulate those characters that we saw because we saw them as our heroes. Well, now, what are we looking at? Transgender kids, kids that don't take a position. Our boys are now wearing fingernail polish. We can't tell the difference in them to speak out against it. You're homophobic, transphobic, or some sort of phobic. And again, I go back to the church. I have to do this, Alex. It's about leadership. If the leaders were to speak out, speak against, and vote, we could change this whole idea.
Indeed. I know we've got callers on hold. We're going to begin to pick up the phone here in just a second. The number is 888-589-8840. We're going to begin in Texas. We've got Monty in Texas. Monty, are you still there?
I am here. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for holding. What you got, Monty?
Absolutely. I just very much appreciate your willingness to be honest. I'm a soccer coach of a varsity soccer team, high school boys here. I didn't become a believer until I was 27. And to understand the beautiful game and how beautiful are the feet that bring what? The gospel.
The good news.
But you teach them to play the beautiful game, and then it doesn't matter where they're going in the world. That's what the world worships. And I tell them all the time, the place you're standing is the mission field you are called to. And if you're breathing, you're in ministry. And
amen.
That so much. They don't hear that. I'll dare them all the time. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. And they're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so I just very much appreciate, you know, step into the light. If you're stepping into the light, if you're coming out of the darkness, everybody's so consumed with what will people think of me. No, no, no. The light is the author of life. It's our creator. It's our savior. And if your focus is on him, you don't really care that much about the next person. You're coming closer to each other as you draw to him. And I just
Monty, I want to say this. Hey, I want to commend you because you're being a leader and you're influencing people. I can think of two coaches that were in my formative years, and I didn't become a Christian until I was 21. But Monty, you're doing God's work by speaking truth, being a role model. Aubrey, we need a lot of guys like this to invest themselves in the lives of young people, don't we?
Yeah, we really do, and it doesn't matter where you are. Again, I always emphasize these senior pastors because I am one. With that being said, we need guys like Monty to come along and work with us to say, hey, come on, get in a church, get involved. And again, I don't apologize. If you're in a church that's afraid to be involved and talk about issues of this magnitude, I don't care who the pastor is. You need to go. You need to leave it. Time out. You have to redeem the time and understand that these are real pertinent issues that must be addressed. If we're going to win, we got to be around guys that will help discipline us to do so. So Monty, point well made. Thanks so much.
Let's still in Texas. Let's go to Laura. Laura in Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted again to say thank you for encouraging good leadership and strong leadership in churches, especially with our men in churches, because it starts at the head of the church to preach and to feed into the heads of the household. And it strengthens our families to an immense level that I know you know. But I just want to say thank you and encourage you that there are people out there that are looking for strong leadership in churches, that are encouraging men to be strong leaders in their communities and in their families, so that they are held accountable to that higher level, so that they do have those higher levels that they are achieving to in their walk with Christ and sharing with their communities and their families. Again, I just want to say thank you. It's just, it's great to hear.
To God be the glory.
Lord, thanks so much. Very encouraging, and for your prayers, your concern, and your observation, Lord. Thank you. That's fantastic.
Hey, by the way, folks, we do 7 youth camps every summer. Here's a website for you, folks, equipretreat.org. Equipretreat.org. This summer, we'll have 1,200 middle schoolers and high schoolers in 7 camps, Iowa, Montana. We've got a camp this year in Richmond, Virginia, well, right outside of Richmond. And go to equipretreat.org. And let me say, and Brother Aubrey, I think you might appreciate this, we have a lot of volunteers, a lot of staff at our camps. I mean, we do all the fun stuff, zip lines, hiking. In Montana, we have horseback riding. But we teach biblical worldview, and we teach citizenship. And I bring in speakers. We talk about government. We've had David Barton and Tim Barton.
Yeah,
but
sure.
The female adult counselors, they counsel the young ladies. And then we talk about guys. We talk with the guys, I and my male counselors that we train. You know, it's interesting, Aubrey. Last summer we were doing our camp, and we're talking about defending a biblical worldview. During the Q&A, I had a 9th grade boy. He was like, Mr. McFarland, I've got a question. I said, sure, what you got? He said, how did you find Angie? And you and Angie have been married 35 years.
Love it.
How do I find, he said, you know, this is years from now, how do you find a godly girl? And here's the thing, that kids are hungry for truth. And there's a lot of these kids, they're thinking about the family that they want to build one day that they maybe never had growing up. I think we have a grand opportunity to talk about God, family, finding that right spouse, making a difference in our nation. We've got a great opportunity, and I think kids are hungry for it.
I do too. I do too. I really do. Kids are resilient. We all know this. I mean, they want to ask real questions. And here's what they don't want. They don't want some stuffy answer. They want you to kind of come down on their level, talk to them, that way they can understand it. This is why, again, we can reach them if we just be honest with them about life and issues and things that really matter to them, but bring it back to a Christ-centered life, and they'll see it. They'll smell through the things that they shouldn't be smelling. They'll go, something is wrong with this here. We have an opportunity to do these things. And this is why our relationship, not just you and I, Alex, but other guys around this nation being involved, shows like yours, shows like Hamilton here. I know you're sitting in. I've had him on my show before. Fantastic guy. We must unite to come together to do things like this if we're really going to make a difference. And don't be afraid to talk about it, whether it's racial issues, whatever it is. Someone has to have the courage, be bold enough, let's talk. And if we do it, I think we'll be the better for it.
And let me say a word to the godly young ladies out there. Don't settle. Okay, young ladies, find that knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. Listen, if that guy doesn't love Jesus, he's not going to fully love you. So I beg young ladies, you pray for that man of God. Somewhere there's a man of God praying for a woman of God. And I want to tell you, the person you choose as a spouse, that's going to define so much. Liz, I know we had other callers, and I apologize, callers. We're almost out of time. Bishop Aubrey Shines, again, websites where people can watch your television show, follow what you're doing online. Tell us where to find you on the web.
Really quick, Aubrey's America. Just go out to Aubrey's America or type in aubreyshines.com. I prefer Aubrey's America. You can find me on every platform out there. You'll see the body of work. I think you'll like what we're doing.
Plus, you have some really great bumper music. But Alex McFarland, seriously, very special thanks to my guest, Aubrey Shines, Bobby Rosa, Jeff McIntosh, the great crew at American Family Radio, and Abe Hamilton III. Alex McFarland saying, stand strong, be bold, speak truth, and may God bless you and use you for the Great Commission.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.